Good evening, everyone. My name is Deidre Statz, and I am filling in for Corinne this evening, who is coming home, or is rather probably sleeping by now. She is exhausted. She's been off in a wonderful spring cleaning retreat with Lisa Natoli, John Monday, and many other course students. So I'm sure when she returns, she's going to have wonderful things to share about what she's been up to at this retreat. And I know we all love Corinne, so it'll be wonderful to hear from her. But I am very honored to be sharing the space with you tonight. As we usually do before we begin meeting, I'd like to open the space for dropping within and letting the Holy Spirit take the lead and be in charge of our call tonight. Just a reminder before we do that, to mute your line, to keep it from having background noise or any unwanted sound, you can press *6. And to unmute yourself to ask a question or to make a comment on tonight's reading, you can press *6 again. So we just try to keep the line fairly quiet because these calls are recorded so that people can listen in later. So again, *6 to mute yourself and *6 to unmute yourself. And we encourage discussion and real life examples and thought provoking commentary and questions as we read through the material. So all of that is very, very welcome here. So I'd just like to drop in to that still quiet space we all share at a soul level, the oneness that we all share. Just letting ourselves breathe and allowing anything from the day today, any business or any details or distractions, to simply fall away. Knowing that this time that we spend together on these calls is so profound and so beautiful. And as we share these truths together, it's strengthened for all of us. So we're putting the Holy Spirit in charge right now. If we need a word or a thought or a tranquil, open mind, these are the things that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge at our request now. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, just allowing that inner guidance to direct all that occurs tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so it is. Yeah, so again, we'll be reading the section called The Little Hindrance. And I will pause as I will read a little bit, and then I will pause, and we will be open for discussion, commentary, examples, questions, anything that comes up is welcome. And here we go. A little hindrance can seem large indeed to those who do not understand that miracles are all the same. Yet teaching that is what the Course is for. This is its only purpose, for only this is all there is to learn. And you can learn it many different ways. All learning is a help or hindrance to the gate of heaven. Nothing in between is possible. There are two teachers only who point in different ways, but two directions you can take. While time remains and choice is meaningful, for never will another road be made except the way to heaven. You but choose whether to go toward heaven or away to nowhere. There is nothing else to choose. Nothing is lost but time, which in the end is meaningless, for it is but a little hindrance to eternity, quite meaningless to the real teacher of the world. Yet, since you do believe in it, why should you waste it going nowhere when it can be used to reach a goal as high as learning can achieve? Think not the way to heaven's gate is difficult at all. Nothing you undertake with certain purpose and high resolve and happy confidence, holding each other's hand and keeping step to heaven's song, is difficult to do. But it is hard indeed to wander off alone and miserable down a road which leads to nothing and which has no purpose. God gave his teacher to replace the one you made, not to conflict with it. And what he would replace has been replaced. Time lasted but an instant in your mind, with no effect upon eternity. And so all time passed, and everything is exactly as it was before. The way to nothingness was made. The tiny tick of time in which the first mistake was made, and all of them within that one mistake held also the correction for that one and all of them that came without the first, or within the first rather. And in that tiny mistake, time was gone, for that was all it ever was. What God gave answer to is answered and gone. And I'm going to pause there. So I will just share to start off. I read a little bit of this before we started tonight, and what I was overcome with reading these first few paragraphs was the Course is really talking about in our innocence here, that everything that we have made in the belief in our small self or our identity self. So in my case, it's Deidre. My identification with Deidre has not affected eternity at all. And the choice is really clear. The innocence that we are, the truth that we are, still remains. So it's really only, just like it says in this paragraph here, it's really only our belief in time and space that creates the kind of struggle that we have of what Nuke Sanchez calls having your feet in two canoes, one the Holy Spirit's camp and the other the ego's camp, and we sort of vacillate in between fear and love. And I have a lot of hope when I read these beginning paragraph, that we are to remember that only the truth is true. Only that which is eternal is true, and all else is really not. And it's our practice of this idea that sometimes trips us up. But I don't know, I just was reading this before and I thought, wow, like what a transcendent example of what the Course is really all about, which is taking us back to the truth of our innocence. So I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to invite any of you to speak, share anything that came up for you as we read those first few paragraphs. Does anybody have anything they want to share? Sounds like we're good. Okay. To you who still believe, you live in time and know not it is gone. The Holy Spirit still guides you through the infinitely small and scentless maze you perceive in time. Though it has long since gone, you think you live in what is past. Each thing you look upon, you saw but for an instant long ago, before its unreality gave way to truth. Not one illusion still remains unanswered in your mind. Uncertainty was brought to certainty so long ago that it is hard indeed to hold it in your heart as it was before you still. The tiny instant you would keep and make eternal passed away in heaven too soon for anything to notice it had come. What disappeared too quickly to affect the simple knowledge of the Son of God can hardly still be there for you to choose to be your teacher. Only in the past, an ancient past, too short to make a world an answer to creation, did the world appear to rise. So very long ago, for such a tiny interval of time, the death note of heaven's song was missed. Yet in each unforgiving act or thought, in every judgment and in all belief in sin, in that one instant, called back as if it could be made again in time. You keep an ancient memory before your eyes, and he who lives in memories alone is unaware of where he is. Is this a hindrance to the place whereon he stands? Is it an echo from the past that he may hear? A fact in what there to hear where he is now, and how much can his own delusions about time and place affect change where he really is? The unforgiven is a voice that calls out from a past forevermore gone by, and everything which points to it is real, but a wish that what is gone could be made real again and seen as here and now. a place of what is really and now and here is the hindrance to the truth. The past is gone and cannot be returned to you. And do you want the fearful instant kept when heaven seemed to disappear? And God was feared and made a symbol of your hate? I'm going to pause there. So, again, with all of the with all of the meatiness of these paragraphs, shall we say, for me, as I read this, all I'm filled with is just this like pervading peace that nothing that we think that we've created as you know, in terms of our beliefs in the world of form, or you know, the personal identity self, nothing in any of it can threaten the truth of who we are. It's using these beautiful metaphors around, you know, the eternal truth is still present. It's still there, no matter how far the mind might wander into something fearful. The truth is still present. We haven't done anything, not time or space or anything in the world has affected what is eternal.
You know, this one line, this all seems very abstract, but this one line here says, how real a hindrance can this dreaming be to where he really is? So what it's really saying is we're just dreaming all of this.
I know. Isn't that a relief, Paula?
It really is. But, gee, it feels so real that, you know, it. As you were reading this, it's like, what? You don't even realize you're dreaming it.
Yeah.
And
I wonder, like, I know we can't, you know, see each other in form, but how many of us on the call have had a dream that when you're dreaming it, it feels so real that you wake up from your dream and you think to yourself, oh my God, did that really happen? And like, you might check, you know, to see if something is on your arm or whatever. And it's like, we all know that feeling if we've had a dream and woken up and wondered, that really happened, you know? And it just makes me think of that, because I've had those types of dreams where it's like, is that real? Was that, you know? And that's just, you know, an example of how we have made this reality what it is. And that is not of God. Anything that is eternal and cannot be changed is of God. So anything that's like, you know, in form or temporary is not. And we're being told really clearly in these passages that nothing eternal can be threatened. And I don't know, I just find that incredibly comforting.
No, it is. I agree with you.
Yeah.
He's talking here a lot about forgiveness, though, and yet in each unforgiving act or thought, in every judgment, and in all belief in sin, is that one instant call back. So that's what really keeps us in the dream.
Yeah.
You know, and forgiveness is really the answer to that.
Absolutely.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
So that last sentence, and he who lives in memories alone is unaware of where he is. I'm going from the CE version. And that last is underlined, and I'm thinking when we're not in the moment with our brothers, meaning whoever, and we step into that memory, we're in the past and we're not able to be in the presence or feel the presence of the Holy Spirit or Jesus at that moment if we are looking in the past or in the future too.
Absolutely. Boy, that's the big problem.
Yes.
That is the problem.
And I find it helpful with certain brothers in my life who I find to be challenging to just see them in that moment right then and there to help me not look upon the past, which I'm carrying with me to not be loving, really.
Right. And that word uncertainty was brought to certainty so long ago that it's hard indeed to hold it to your heart as if it were before you still. I think uncertainty plays a big part in, you know, the whole, this whole, thing that we do, you know, either going into the past or projecting into the future and not holding to the truth of the moment. Thank God for this call, because really this this just puts it into perspective.
Well, I also want to point out that we're talking about a lot tonight in the reading about time. And so really the underlying theme in all of this tonight is that time as the belief in the fear thought system or the ego thought system, time itself doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so the minute we place our belief in the past or a future, we've already kind of veered away from what the truth is. So it, for me, it's kind of like when I read this, it's like there's nothing to worry about. Like all is forgiven because all is innocent. We've believed in this dream. We're dreaming. We've made it real, but it's just a dream. And so the moment we forgive these judgmental thoughts or these, you know, things that come up that are, you know, not rooted in the Holy Spirit, we're free. It's in that forgiveness that we're free. And that's what the Course is talking about in terms of being truly happy, is that freedom. And that is accessible to us at all times, that freedom.
So this actually reminds me of, and this is coming up because I just did these lessons, but in the workbook for lesson 7 and 8, which is, I see only the past and my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
So this is something that I actually had to practice recently because I had a very close friend that was diagnosed with something really terrible this week. And my first reaction was complete fear. And I had to go into that practice and say, I'm fearful because I'm preoccupied with thoughts with past thoughts. I'm judging this based on what I think I know from the past. And so I had to say that thing, you know, like, I know nothing. Holy Spirit, please, you know, take my fear and show me a miracle instead, because I'm obviously not judging this correctly if I'm feeling fear.
Wow.
That's such a beautiful example.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous,
so
and so practical.
So powerful.
I agree.
So practical and not always easy to do when we're really hooked into, you know, that place of feeling fear. But I love the example that you brought forward because it's so, you know, we all relate to that. And that is the practice, is saying, you know, I must have decided wrongly. I'm not seeing this correctly. Holy Spirit, help me. And it sounds like you did that beautifully.
Well, I'm just so grateful for the course because, you know, otherwise I would not have that tool to go to, and I would have definitely retreated into panic. So I felt, even after that, I felt, you know, almost grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also is reminding me of the place in the course where it talks about, I don't know what anything is for.
Ah, you read my mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking that I do not know what this is for. Let me look upon this for me. I forget the exact verbiage.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That this type of thing happens all the time on these calls because our minds are joined, and so when, you know, the thoughts come and, you know, people share them, it's just, you know, it's just evidence of the truth that there is no separation.
Mm.
Thank you for that.
It brought tears to my eyes of joy. Thank you. And chills throughout my whole body.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Love it. Yeah. Okay. So let's keep reading. Forget the time of terror that has been long ago corrected and undone. Can sin withhold the will of God? Can it be up to you to see the past and put it in the present? You cannot go back. And everything that points the way in the direction of the past, but sets you on a mission whose accomplishment can only be unreal. Such as the justice your ever loving Father has ensured must come to you, and from your own unfairness to yourself, He has protected you. You cannot lose your way because there is no way but His, and nowhere can you go except to Him. I'm just going to adjust my place here. Hang on. Would God allow His Son to lose His way along a road long since a memory of time gone by, a dreadful instant in a distant past, now perfectly corrected? Is it of no concern nor value? Let the dead and gone be peacefully forgotten. Resurrection has come to take its place, and now you are part of resurrection, not of death. No past illusions have the power to keep you in place of death. A vault God's Son entered an instant to be instantly restored unto His Father's perfect love. And how can He keep in chains long since removed and gone forever from His mind? The Son of God created is as free as God created him. He was reborn the instant that he chose to die instead of live. And you will not forgive him now because he made an error in the past that God remembers not and is not there. Now you are shifting back and forth between the past and present. Sometimes the past seems real, as if it were the present. Voices from the past are heard and then are doubted. You are like to one who still hallucinates but lacks conviction in what he perceives. This is the borderland between the worlds that bridge between the past and the present. Here, the shadow of the past remains, but still a present light is dimly recognized. Once it is seen, the light can never be forgotten. It must draw you from the past into the present, where you really are. And I'll pause there.
This is so amazing.
Isn't it?
Because it's really speaking to me. It's so reassuring because I really have been in the borderland the last recently. Just things have been off and, you know, I've been drifting. And this is just so powerful in reassuring me that, no, you can't go back, you know, and what does he just say here? Wait a minute. You cannot go back. Yeah, forget the time of terror that has been so long ago corrected and undone. Can sin withstand the will of God himself? Can it be up to you to see the past and put it in the present? You cannot go back. And everything that points the way in the direction of the past but sets you on a mission whose accomplishment can only be unreal. This is incredible. Yeah.
My favorite is the next sentence. Such is the justice your all-loving Father has ensured must come to you, and releases us from the unfairness of ourselves. I mean, I'm my own worst enemy and critic. And this is like, oh my God, I'm actually forgiven. Wow, I'm forgiven.
Yeah, it's like God's love vetoes all of that out. It's like, it doesn't even exist.
It's hard to wrap my little mind around, literally, my little mind.
Exactly. I love this part in the beginning of the reading that we read just a few minutes ago. God's Son entered an instant to be instantly restored unto his Father's perfect love. So we think that, you know, all this stuff happened, but it's like we didn't even, like, have the full thought of separation before it was forgiven. Like, it's already done.
It's always already done.
Yeah.
You know, I have to, I've been following the workbook lessons recently. It's in a review right now. And he talks about how we are the light of the world, and that if we follow his plan, that will become more obvious to us. But I get so distracted, you know, and I forget about his plan. And half the time I have to say, wait a minute, what is your plan? Remind me, what is your plan? Happiness?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah,
and I drift.
Yeah, and I think we're laughing because we can all relate to that, right? We can all relate to that, you know, mind wandering that happens. And I'm reminded as we're having this conversation of one of my favorite quotes in the course is, if you knew who walked beside you in this path that you have chosen, fear would be impossible.
Yes.
And that to me is like everything that encapsulates what we're talking about tonight. Like it's not, you know, it's almost like what Paula was saying earlier about what is the purpose for us? Happiness? Oh yeah, right. Like we make everything so complicated, but that's how we forget. Like God's will for us is perfect happiness, but there's a part of us that likes being these roles that we've taken on, and so that's where we get tripped up. We almost get tripped up in the simplicity of it, because it couldn't possibly be that simple to be happy.
You absolutely just nailed it. It really is simple. It is so simple. I overthink, you know.
Yep. Yeah. I do too.
That's the
best. It's simple but not easy.
Yeah.
What I would say. So I love that quote, by the way, and I hadn't read it before. But I'll try to read it now. But it's so funny. I was just thinking today, I had the thought, I was jogging and I have all these thoughts in my head, and then I just caught myself and said, I'm my own worst enemy. So it's so funny that, I don't know what your name is, that you brought that up. I actually said that to myself today. but yeah, so, you know, continuing to, or getting to that point where you understand he's walking beside you. If you knew who walked beside you, that would be great. And it's simple, but not easy.
Yeah. You know, I actually had an experience. I was in a very, very fearful place in a snowstorm. I'm driving and I'm scared to death. And I actually had this experience, and I was not doing the Course in Miracles at that time, of someone laying their hand on my arm. I mean, it was actually holding my arm, and I knew, oh my God, I was just lifted out of that fear. And so when I actually read that in the Course in Miracles, it was like, this is no joke. He is with us every moment, in every situation. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you reminded us of this tonight, Deidre. It's really important.
Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor. We're all in this together, and it's just always an honor to be with you guys on Sunday night.
I had an experience this morning, and I actually shared it in the course that I attend on Sunday mornings, and I literally felt the presence of Jay walking with me and guiding me. And it was really simple things in the house. The house is very messy right now. And it was just these little thoughts, and the next thing, and the next thing. And I was overwhelmed with peace. And it seems so simple, but to feel that presence in the minutia was such a gift. It was a gift for me. And I had the thought that you said, forgive me, my kitty cat is being a little loud right now, so I'll be
We love kitty cats. It's perfectly okay.
She's having a moment.
No problem. They know where the good energy is, as Corinne would say.
That's all I have.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, let's read a little more. The shadow voices do not change the laws of time or of eternity. They come from what is past and gone and hinder not the true evidence of the here and now. The real world is the second part of the hallucination. Time and death are real and have existence which can be perceived. The terrible illusion was denied in but the time it took for God to give his answer to illusion for all time in every circumstance, and then it was no more to be experienced as there. Each day and every minute in each day and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror was replaced by love. And so you die each day to live again until you cross the gap between past and present, which is not a gap at all. Such is each life, a seeming interval of birth to death, and on to life again. A repetition of an instant gone by long ago, which cannot be relived. And all of time is but the mad belief that what is over is still here and now. Forgive the past and let it go, for it is gone. You stand no longer on the ground that lies between the worlds. You have gone on and reached the world that lies at heaven's gate. There is no hindrance to the will of God, nor any need that you repeat again a journey that was over long ago. Look gently on each other and behold the world in which perception of your hate has transformed into a world of love. And I will pause there. I have goosebumps. Wow. So his answer to illusion for all time and every circumstance and all that is no more to be experienced as there each day and every minute of each day is a single instant of time that terror and has been replaced by love. I love that. Replaced by love. So even when we think we're in terror, like even when we think we're in the throes of the ego, love is there because love is all there is.
And then that second part of that sentence, and so you die each day to live again, we're being resurrected every single day.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because the resurrection is not some time in the future. It's right now. It's every moment of every day. It's the Christ is within all of us. That is the true meaning of resurrection, is that the Christ is born and within the entire sonship.
And
No, go ahead.
I'm having this, I don't even know how to explain it. And when we do this, it's the miracle which undoes the illusion of time, mm-hmm. going forward and backward, and basically like cleans everything up without us knowing how it's done.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of the circle of atonement definition of a miracle, which Robert Perry calls an expression of love.
Yes.
So that expression of love collapses time, or the belief in time, because the Holy Spirit is saying time doesn't exist in truth, but the miracle, the expression of love, you know, basically obliterates the belief in time.
Wow. I'm so glad I'm on this call.
Me too. Thank you, guys.
You know, this line, there is no hindrance to the will of God, nor any need that you repeat again a journey which was over long ago. But, you know, I think we do that. I will speak for myself. It's to stay in the body. You know, it's that we want to believe that we are in this body, that we are this personality, self, and the ego demands it in a sense, but of course we're not.
Well,
in
my mind,
it's listening. I have to constantly remind myself, am I listening to the voice for God or am I listening to the ego? Because the voice for God certainly is the answer, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you brought that piece up about the reliving again and again, because that's what the ego thought system fosters. It's not like just, you know, the belief in physical death, but all of the like different ways that we crucify ourselves on a moment-to-moment basis. Like, I should have done this, or that choice was wrong, and this, that was horrible, and look at my brother over there. He's an idiot. He's a jerk.
You think I did it wrong? Look at him.
Exactly.
We're not guilty, but I definitely relate.
No, we're not guilty, but we can certainly laugh at our miscreations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... yeah, it's just so profound what the Course unravels so beautifully. Like, I feel like the pages that we've read tonight, I need to have tattooed on my body. You know?
I like
yeah.
this line, look gently on each other, you know?
Mm.
And that's
mm.
where I'm trying to remember to do that.
It's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love this too. There is no hindrance to the will of God. There is no hindrance to the world of God. There is no block to the will of God. There's nothing in our way except our belief.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
What does he mean, perception of your hate? What does that mean?
Gently on each other and behold the world in which perception of your hate has been transformed into a world of love. Well, I think when we look gently on each other, that's what, you know, when we make that choice, then we behold a world in which the perception of your hate has been transformed. There's a
yeah. There is an echo. I'm not sure how to.
And a line is coming to me, and I don't know exactly where it is, but I think it might be in the Song of. I'm not sure, but it basically says where an ancient hate has turned to love, and it's almost identical to this sentence. And I'll speak for myself, but there have been people in my life where I can honestly say there was hatred there, and it was not love. And by doing the course and turning it over and doing some therapy, that hatred, that unlove, turned to love and compassion in a way that I am not really responsible for. Nicole as the personality, so to speak. But it transformed into something different.
Yeah, and you know, that is so true. We can't do it. It is being done for us by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's really the power of... Oh, boy, that echo is bad.
I don't hear it.
Yeah, I'm hearing it on my end. Well,
let's try something. Let me try speaking now, Paula.
yeah, it's better. I think it's
okay.
Better.
Good.
Okay.
I just tried to adjust something, so hopefully that helped. But what comes to mind for me is, like, love is incapable of hate. It's only a perception or something that is untrue that can perceive the idea of hate. So,
you're right.
That is the big perception problem, is that we don't have a problem with, believing in the thought system of fear. We have a problem in believing in the thought system of love.
Right.
That's really what our issue is. And we turned from God, not the other way around.
Right.
So it's only that creates hate. If you turn from love, that will create hate.
Right.
It's just interesting they use the word perception. Seems like.
And when I say create hate, I don't mean like that hate is true. I just mean you can believe that it's true. You can believe that it's real, but it's not actually.
Maybe this will help. Looking through the lens of the ego or looking through the lens of the eyes of love for the perception. You know, when you change your glasses, you know, that's all it is. It's how we're seeing it. That's how I'm taking it. Are you with me?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Hope that
and
helps.
The course is very clearly telling us that only one is true. Only one way of seeing is true, and that's love. So anything else is faulty vision.
I see.
And unreal.
And unreal. And a dream.
I understand.
Yeah.
I got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we have a few minutes left, but it seems like this is a good place to end because it's just before the next heading. So we have about 4 minutes. If there's anything that anybody wants to share just on the overall theme tonight or any interesting miracle stories this week.
I was having an awful time on Friday. I worked from home on Fridays, and the computer that I was working on was just giving me such a hard time. And then I was blaming myself. I said, I'm sure I screwed this up. And I called work and talked to the IT guy, and he didn't seem to know what to do about it. And I said to him, could I possibly bring the computer in and have you look at it? And he said, yeah, do that. And all the way over I prayed, because I asked for a miracle, because it just seemed like, oh, this is going to go on, and I'll get nothing accomplished today. Do you know, when I took that computer in there, it took him 2 minutes to look at it, and yeah, here, he fixed it, and I was on my way.
I love it.
You know,
I love it.
I was just so grateful that I thought to turn that over, you know, and not just, all right, I'm blaming myself, this is all. But in the middle of it, it was like, wait a minute. All I need is a miracle here.
Yeah.
All I need is a miracle. And on some level, there was this thought of, am I really deserving of that? Mm. And, you know, I looked at that and said, yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's necessary. You know, when you're in those situations, really recognizing the truth of who you are and how we are entitled to miracles.
Yeah.
In every situation. And there is nothing that my holiness cannot do.
Thank you. Thank you for that and reminding me.
I am entitled to miracles. I am entitled to miracles.
Absolutely.
I am entitled to miracles. Just had to say
that I'm having tattooed.
Can we all go together? Because I want a little tattoo on the inside of my wrist that is an open heart with wings. I don't want my heart closed, but I want it to remind me that I'm loved and to give love, and I'm always protected by angels, and let me know if you want to go.
Absolutely. You are an angel.
Aww.
Both of you.
Takes one to know one.
This was wonderful.
Agreed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for leading. It was beautiful.
Yes, absolutely.
Have a miracle-filled week, everybody. Claim your miracles this week. And
absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you again. Good night.
Have a good next week.
Have a good night. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye.